appreciate the love. We appreciate all the positive feedback we get. Our staff, I can't give them enough credit on what they do. Yeah, we're looking forward to 2019 and the things that we're gonna, you know, bring out, and you know, we're gonna.
Sour's coming.
Yeah, yeah. I like to say that because everyone asks every day.
Welcome to Focus on the Beer. I'm your host, Ryan Hannigan, and with me is my co-host, Josh Howard, and we're here to talk about craft beer here in Colorado. So, welcome to Focus on the Beer. I'm Ryan Hannigan.
I'm Josh Howard.
And we're here with Brass Brewing. They're coming up on their one-year anniversary here in March 22nd, I believe. And so we figured we'd bring the guys in to talk a little bit about how the first year went, what they're doing now, and what they hope to do in the next year and coming years. So thanks for being on the show, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Hi, yeah. Woody.
Hi.
So we got Woody and Mike. Michael. Yeah. Michael, what's your last name?
Johnson.
Yeah. That's easy. Easy to remember.
It is.
I had a buddy in college named Michael Johnson, actually. So, Woody, you just full disclosure, I helped you out with your Kickstarter video way back when, and helped you sort of get everything moving. But then I pulled out and let you guys just run, and so it's sort of fun to see how things have evolved and changed. And you know, I was in there just the other night, and it had the same feel, but it had a lot more warmth there. Your wall with all of your badges is just packed now. You had to go to like extra pieces of metal to put everything up. So it's really cool seeing how things have grown. So just give us a little sort of rundown on the background on Brass. This is the first time we've had you on the show, so it gives you a chance just to give a little rundown of what Brass is, what it's all about, and then we'll just kick in with questions.
Sure. So a few years ago, I just had the idea to eventually start my own business, and that pretty much was the same time that I was also just doing some home brewing. And you know, like I said on my website, I believe in my video, you go from a one deployment to another deployment, you have a lot of time to think. So it just kind of like formed itself during that downtime. And then I became a state trooper for quite a while, and then during that time was about when things weren't the greatest out there, then we got the go ahead from my wife to say, hey, go ahead and do it. And so about the last,
a good thing.
Yeah, so we got the green light, or she gave me the green light to do it. And over the last like 2 years, we were searching, different locations and different places to set up. And, it gave us time to also figure out, okay, what are we looking for? Do we want to be like downtown or in a suburb or something like that? And, about a year and a half ago, we were at St. Arnold's. And that's when the previous place's owner had mentioned that he's selling his location. And then it took us a little bit of time to think, did we want to do this or not? We knew about the apartments opening up across the street, the 333 Echo. So we used that to kind of like decide that was our deciding factor, knowing that that was coming. So basically September of 2018, we took over the lease, took over the spot. 17. And then spent no time. Yeah, jeez. What are we on? Eight years now? I do need a beer. We spent the fall and spring getting it ready, and then March of last year we opened. Each month has gotten better and better. Our winter is definitely, I was hearing horror stories that winter can slow down, and we've done nothing but the opposite of slow down. By sales and people, so I'm a worrywart by nature. So I look at it and that's cool, But we have work to do, and we'll get better and better. So,
well, and I think your sort of inverted sales as compared to what people warned you about, I think it has something to do with the beer itself.
Yeah.
We talked about it a little bit before the show. You guys started off with, a couple guys doing the brewing, and then you jumped onto another brewer, and then Michael came in here as the, I'm going to do that all the time because my dad's name is Michael, and we always call him Mike. Michael came in here and basically revamped the entire brewing, from the ground up.
Yep.
But to do that, 7 months into a brewery being opened, you can't do it all at once. You have to sort of do it beer by beer. And I just kept hearing people come to me going, hey, have you had the Pilsner? Have you had the the new IPA, have you had blah, blah, blah. And it was just bit by bit, everyone was sort of realizing and noticing that things were changing over and things were getting really good. And so I think that's what sort of led to you having a great winter.
Yeah. And I think, you know, he had reached out, Michael had reached out in like January of 18?
17.
She's gonna look
yeah, good. It was when you were first going to open. Yeah.
So he had reached out just through Facebook, and at that time, I think you might even replied.
Oh, yeah, I probably did.
It was that generic reply that came back, hey, we're under construction,
right. Yep.
And whatever, and one of us might have chimed in and be like, hey, we'll get back with you, we'll talk to you later, but right now we don't need a brewer.
Right.
And I just think that's kind of weird that, you know, several months later,
it's so funny. It's
he's still out there, that means not out there like, hey, I've been waiting this whole time, just I reached out to him, and he then said yeah, and he gave me his ideas on how to take this, you know, to another level. And I think maybe it was about a month ago, maybe we finally, I mean, well, it's probably a little bit longer than that. Like, every recipe is now on the board, has been his. Yeah. You know, like you were saying, it took a little bit of time to kind of remove some of that beer out of there. But
you can't just dump it all because you're open.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you don't want to go from, you know, people coming in one day.
Everything was bad to begin
no,
with.
No, no, and that's not that, but they're not your styles.
Sure.
And they're not your recipes, and that's
beers.
The thing is that it's like your children. You don't want to be pushing. Oh, hey, try this IPA, but I don't really know what went into it. I know the recipe sort of, but I don't really have that passion in there. And that's what I mean. Beer is art. It's this passionate thing. So it's really cool to see your passion then come through and bleed through all these new beers.
Yeah, and that's been fun too. And seeing that process happen, and I think that goes hand in hand with the sales and the you know, the world on the street's a lot different now than it might have been a few months ago. And granted, we're that small in number, you know, total number of months we've been open. But I mean, if your beer's bad, people aren't going to come in. And I think seeing sales go up quite a bit.
And we all know spring's market.
Yeah.
If the beers aren't good, there's other places to go.
And especially when you're downtown, like there's four breweries within a 4 or 5 block walk where they will just pass you over. And I think that might have happened with the previous tenant where it caused them to do it. But I think you guys caught it at the right time, fixed it, and now it's like the sky's the limit. So, So Michael, what's your background in brewing?
Started off at home. You know how that stuff goes. Yeah, I've been brewing since '02.
Okay.
But, started off at home, and you know, some commercial experience mixed in there. You know, from probably early 2000s, 05, 06. Jeff Lockhart's a good friend of mine over at Deuces.
Nice.
Known that guy for years. He was the one who gave me my start commercially, and owe a lot to him. Love the guy. Take a bullet for him. That's where we're at. But
that's a good point to be at.
Yeah. But
Jeff makes good beer.
Jeff does.
Yeah, that was a great pickup by Deuces to grab him.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, and he's been around, and I'm not gonna
he knows his shit.
Throw his resume out there, but yeah, he's been around and he knows this stuff, and that's kind of how where I got my start, and then I was down in Florence, you know, started off as an assistant, took over the head job within 6 months, and you know, did that for a couple years, and
nice.
Then wound up here in Brass. So.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, Hans down in Florence, they make great stuff.
Yeah.
Or you make great stuff.
Hans is a friend, and Florence is a friend, and yeah.
It's a good, great spot.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. I mean, so, Josh, you've been quiet here. What the hell?
Well, I had a question a minute ago, and then you jumped right in and started asking questions. I'm like, I guess we'll just abandon that line of questioning.
I'm sorry.
Now I don't have questions. You guys obviously, you know, survived the dryanuary slump that plagues most beer-related industries as everyone decides that they've had too much over the holidays. So it's actually, you know, a pretty good compliment that you guys get to that point where you're seeing increasing sales in a time when a lot of people aren't drinking.
Yeah.
Obviously, the beer quality has gone up. I haven't been in there in the last 6 months largely because I've been trying to owe less of my robust physique to beer.
Sure.
You look but good though. I ran into Michael at the All Colorado Beer Festival in not the way that you want to initially have a conversation with a brewer, because you know, the Brew Brothers of Pikes Peak was running the judging there. And he had brought in a Kentucky Common.
Yes, sir.
And he said, man, he said, you know, the notes I got on this just didn't seem right.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, let me try it. And he had taken it off tap because it was between sessions at that point. I said, I'll come back during the second session and I will try it. So I popped back over there.
Which he did.
A little bit later, and like, this tastes good. I mean, it seems like it's the style. I mean, I pulled up the style guidelines and looked at it, and I'm like, look, I don't know who judged this, and I'm sorry that you kind of got short thrift on this one, but, you know, it was a really, really good Kentucky Common. And a Kentucky Common is not a commonly made beer, despite the name. And it was kind of my first foray into Michael Brewing for them. I mean, when you were at Florence Brewing Company, was it Florence?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'd had your stuff then.
Right.
Because you'd been to a couple of festivals
right.
under their banner.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, I mean, I knew he was a good brewer. I'm kind of like, well, I can't imagine he'd screw up a Kentucky Common. So I had to try it for myself to make sure I wasn't imagining things. And I wasn't.
So who are the judges? Let's call them out.
No, let's not do that.
I honestly don't know. Their names might have been on the sheet.
I may or may not know them.
But I didn't look in.
Really, it's such a hard thing.
What am I
going to
do? 50 it lashes is, with a wet is. Noodle?
And it's all so subjective.
And also when you're drinking, like we did, I helped out at Big Beers a couple years ago doing judging. It was like they were like, we just need extra judges. You'll just be paired off with this
drink
judge.
60 beers in 2 hours.
I was in the Belgian strong section, so everything's 9 to 11% alcohol, and I'm sitting there going like, I can't taste this one. It tastes like water now. Like I can't pull anything out of it. My palate's wrecked, and so especially for like a you know some categories, the guys that do IPAs, I don't understand how they can even like. I feel sorry.
And
for
to
this.
His credit, he had to put up with me after I was all fired up about judging and.
He was fine. We just got done judging for the Peterson Festival this weekend. 333 beers over 3 sessions. So, I always have to apologize to the guys that get stuck with IPAs. I'm like, look, I know there's 25 of them, and there's only 4 of you. Yeah. Good luck and Godspeed, gentlemen. So, it's
either the first ones or the last ones that probably win because.
Yeah, I think honestly, you kind of see a little bit of a. A curve. If your first beer is really good, you tend to score it lower because you're like, this can't be the best beer here,
right?
You know, so you're like, this is a 36, and then suddenly everything else is worse.
Yeah,
you're like, oh man,
uh-oh.
Gotta go back and give that guy a 40 now.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it's there is a level of subjectivity, but palate fatigue is a thing that definitely exists
for sure with all of us. Yeah, I'm the biggest critic of everything I brew, so.
Well, that's a good thing. You're supposed to be your own
critic. I'm never going to tell you something I did was good. You know, well, except for that ACBA.
Well, but you know it doesn't have the flaws that are on the sheet. That's another thing. When you see this, you're like, that's not right.
Understood.
Yeah. So. Well, and I think we went into it, you know, hoping we
big
got
expectations.
Right.
Yeah, because we were hoping to draw critique because that's the kind of the beer where.
Well, this is going to be a GABF beer for us.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we were hoping to get good,
and I wanted
solid
good notes.
notes.
So then you got all this riding on it, and you're just like, ah.
And we didn't get it. We didn't really pick up anything. So that's why we were even more disappointed in
that. We're trying to figure out how to fine-tune it for GABF specifically.
Right.
You know, because it's not a style that people see a lot.
Right, and it's not that style where people go, oh, yeah, it's supposed to taste like XYZ. It's a more nuanced thing.
Frankly, if that's something you guys want to do, let me know. You know, I can get a couple judges down there.
Absolutely.
Just come and taste through it, you know.
I will.
I'll get a couple of our national judges, you know, the higher ranked judges to come in there. I mean, I'm only certified, so the nationals, you know, I'm holding their jock type of stuff, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
You'll bring ones in, they'll be like, I've had this before.
Like, oh no. That's how I get my judges killed.
Oops. So you guys brought some beer today. Did you bring a Kentucky Common?
We did not bring a Common.
It's okay.
We're bringing lagers.
Yeah,
because what's old is new.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a Munich Dunkel, and there's a classic American Pilsner. So it's the second in our, we're doing 3 in our indigenous beer series. So the Kentucky Common was number 1. The classic American Pils is number 2. And the California Common is going to be the 3rd in the series. Yeah.
And that'll come out right
they're
around.
All just heavy pre-prohibition styles, lots of corn. This Pilsner is about a 43 IBU beer. Like, she's hopped up.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
She's pretty hot, yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad we started with the Pilsner, then.
Yeah. We can
segue. Because this is definitely not a... This is German style, nice, light, crisp, easy to drink.
Yeah, a little residually sweet.
Solid calibrator for this, though.
Yeah, perfect. Sure.
We're on point.
And so let's crack it. Let's drink some.
Absolutely.
I got two glasses over there for you guys. This is the best part. Just like the ASMR part of the show here.
Crowler's hitting the table.
I'm gonna have to find a way to just isolate all of the beer openings from all of the shows and just have like a 20-minute long like.
Yeah. It's gonna sound like one of those old Bush commercials where it was just cans opening constantly.
And we only brought one hat because we weren't tracking one person.
So you're all good.
You guys can fight over it.
Who cleans our glassware?
That would be me in the bathroom with the hottest water that this place has. Oh, wow.
So it's definitely a little hoppier than a traditional Pilsner.
Yeah, but it's got a thickness to it that I like.
Yeah, that's for the corn. That's the corn.
Yeah. How much corn? Like what percentage 30%. Corn? Oh, really?
Yeah, legit 30%. Yeah.
That body, though.
Yeah, 150 pounds. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's got the corniness in there, but it's not like crazy.
Yeah.
And you definitely get the bitterness. I mean, when you're saying 46 IBUs, the bitterness holds up. Not in an unpleasant way, though.
But I think it makes the corn not taste as corny, though. Like, it really balances that whole thing out. That's crazy. I know, it's weird. I know. It totally sounds weird to say it that way.
Would you say that there's corn sugar in this one?
Oh, is this corn syrup?
Well, here we go.
Corn.
Damn you, Bud, for even making us talk about this.
I think I'm just going to bleep that out every time we talk about it.
You should.
But this was the predominant beer style.
Right.
Prior to Prohibition. This is what a Pilsner tasted like in the United States. So...
It's good. It's not so light or yellowy. I mean, like, a lot of people go fizzy yellow beer, but this is like a nice golden...
Oh, yeah.
Golden hue. It's got a little almost like garnet in there as well.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the book, The Homebrewer's Guide to Vintage Beer. It talks about all the, you know, European methods of, you know, how they... During the war, it was pretty much all two-row that they had access to. They couldn't get specialty malts, anything like that. Yeah, so two-row, six-row, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And to get to porter, they basically had to do this modifying sugar, just roasting sugar until it turned black, and then use that to get to their porter color.
Yeah.
And so that sort of, you know, pre-prohibition, you know, early English brewing, all that stuff's just fascinating.
No,
so I love that you guys are pursuing that.
Me too,
that,
man. I mean, and that's, like, that's a big part of what I do. I appreciate older styles, and I'm trying to bring that stuff to the forefront, you know, so.
You're a beer nerd's beer nerd.
I'm a beer nerd, yeah, for sure.
I like it. That's a taste of beer. Holy cow.
Thank you. Very appreciate
good.
That. Yeah.
That's really good. And so I think I was in there for the release of the
Off We Go.
Off We Go.
Yep.
Which is totally other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, it is. For me especially.
Yeah. So was that predicated by Launchpad Brewery?
Yeah.
Okay. So what it is, it's a like blueberry milkshake IPA, smoothie IPA, basically.
Isn't
like,
that your Collab Fest beer?
Yes. Okay. No.
Oh.
No. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
They did a Collab Fest with Deuces and Cerberus.
Correct.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. Big lager.
Big IPL.
Yeah.
That's
the picture of Michael and Josh and Jeff, it's like scary. They're all just standing there, just like looking down at the camera.
I saw that one.
It's like a heavy metal like album cover, like inside.
It's
you open
picture,
it up, you're like, whoa,
that's
okay.
About to drop some doom metal on you.
Yeah.
Who's the guitarist? I can't tell. It doesn't matter.
Keep going. I know who the drummer is. So.
That's good. So. Now that we just talked about it.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just spoiling plot points left and right here like I do.
So you made an IPL, big, IPL, heavy.
Big, 20 Plato beer, 21 Plato beer.
Jeez.
Yeah. It's going to be probably 10%-ish.
So it was like a triple IPL. Like,
it is.
Oh, that's
cool. It's you got to go big for Collab Fest.
So right.
You got to step out of your comfort zone. There's probably 60 pounds of hops going into this thing.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Brewed at Deuces?
At Deuces, yeah.
Nice.
Tropical stuff, so I'm not going to give all the details.
Right, all the tropical fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big, huge dry hop bill. We just started.
If Josh Adamski is involved, the dry hop bill is going to be ridiculous.
He was in charge of that portion.
Yeah, that's the part where you're just like, just have fun. Just don't tell me. Their stuff it's crazy when I look at, we'll stop in there and look at one of their brew logs and you just see the dry hop and you're like, Oh, okay. Alrighty. Yeah. That's a lot. Yeah. A lot of hops. But yeah, that's exciting. That'll be good. It's cool seeing more Colorado Springs breweries get into Collabfest.
Yeah.
I know that like the last couple of years it's been pretty much predominantly just Cerberus and like Fossil and that crew. Yeah. But to see you guys jump in and everything, that's great. I think there needs to be more. It's funny, like the Brewers Guild always says, "Oh yeah, we want more Colorado Springs beer up there," and then nothing really happens. So yeah. It'll be really fun to have you guys up there. They're doing it at same place.
The hotel again okay. This year, yeah. Downtown.
March 16th.
I know, it's my birthday.
I'm trying to go to it.
Be there or be square.
Yeah. I mean, St. Patty's Day is right the next day.
Right. It's, yeah, it's so dangerous. Jeez. Every year it's dangerous.
It's going to be a fun weekend for sure.
Yeah. No, that's always a good one. We stayed there last year, and that was the smart move to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is reminding me that I need to book a room again.
At the hotel, so you don't have to go
10% anywhere. 10% IPL? Know where I'm going.
Yeah, I know exactly how many of those I'm going to have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have a few.
Yeah, yeah. Collabfest is, and actually I was talking to someone who goes to Collabfest every year, and he was saying that it just seems like it's a whole lot of Colorado breweries collaborating with each other. They're not seeing as many of the, you know, far-reaching collaborations as there were in the past. I'm like, I'm not going to complain about that. We have so many breweries now, it's fun to see them work together.
Right.
Because the odds of them doing it again are better
than,
you know, someone collaborating with Green Bench in Florida. Not that I wouldn't mind that, because Tom's out there.
Yeah.
But Tom Brown from
Trinity.
And
those are fun, too. But, you know, and that was our big thing. Like, I have relationships in town, and like we want to make each other better and, you know, step out of our comfort zones and what we do, you know. Yeah. In a 20 Play-Doh lager.
That's not that something. Pushes everyone out of their comfort zone.
That we do on the regular, you know, so, yeah.
Very exciting. I want to try that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you think about the new direction?
No, I
Indigenous
mean.
Indigenous lagers and.
Yeah, I've never even put a hurdle in front of you.
No, he never has. Yeah, good.
That's a good thing.
The only thing I put a
just
hurdle
sets you up
on
there, and he's like, "You're the captain now."
I wouldn't go that far. But
it's the name convention. That would be the only thing that I mean, keeping our brand on each beer, but as in stopping whatever he's thinking. We don't. Kelly and I just sit in our meetings, and it's his direction.
Yeah, they let me run.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, Kelly might. Yeah. She might have her like say it on beer she wants
for sure.
But as in like when he says this is what I'm going with, we don't. You know, the question might be like, okay, let's move on. Let's keep going. So
that's awesome that you can have that trust and just be able to just say, hey, run with it, go for it.
Yeah,
I know that just with like in the beginning when we were talking, you were like, I don't want to be the face of the beer.
Nope.
You know, I can be the face of the brewery, but the beer needs to stand alone and have someone else that, you know, almost as their neck can be wrung for it.
Yep. For sure.
But that allows you to then work on make sure the business runs the way it needs to run.
Yep.
Let Michael just take care of the beer. And so far.
So far, so good. Yeah.
So from a logistics standpoint, I know the one challenging thing about your location is parking.
What time is it? Is it parking?
What's parking? Oh, I think we're done here.
Was this podcast end at 7:30?
Oh, yeah, we're done here. Yeah, bye.
Speaking of parking. Parking.
We're right into the sore spot, apparently. Oops.
Yeah. It's, you know, I can't even say it's a work in progress because there is no work. It's just a battle that we stopped trying to fight. We were trying to work with El Taco Rey to get some parking behind, and they weren't budging on opening on the weekends. So it's like, well, if they're not going to let the parking lot be open
on
the weekends,
prime time.
Then it's not going to really help us.
Yeah.
So it's just a
that's a weird situation. You'd think there'd be like a symbiosis between having a perfectly good restaurant right next door and a brewery to work together
it's the old grandma that owns El Taco Rey who's the hard ass basically. She'll lock the gates on her like sons and daughters.
Yeah, she'll tow them
and get their cars towed. Yep. Like even if it's family.
Yep.
It's hardcore.
Well, you know, as much as I hate to say it, I got to respect her for that. I mean, if you're going to stick to it for everybody.
Right. And we learned at first our opening weekend, it was that Friday night, we learned the hard way. That we had people actually sitting in our place eating El Taco Rey. And then we're seeing three tow trucks show up in the lot. And right at 8:00, she closes it down, and she doesn't even realize it's some of her own patrons are sitting in our place. They're not even drinking our beer. They're just in there because they just walked over. They didn't even order a beer yet. Seating. And they're getting their cars towed. So ever since then, you know, we just warn people as much as we can. But, yeah, the parking, I mean, it's helped with the 333 Echo showing up with their parking lot on the weekends. That kind of opens things up a little bit.
Because they have a parking garage, right?
Yeah, parking garage, but the parking across the street opens.
Off-street parking. Yeah.
But that's a beautiful facility, by the way.
It is. Yeah.
I've been in there. Some friends of a friend at an apartment. I went up there. I'm like, this place is amazing.
Yeah.
We're in downtown Colorado Springs.
Yeah. Crazy.
I want to.
I've only seen pictures. I know. It looks crazy. I'm like, can we just rent our house and move there? Right.
Yeah. Fortunately for us, I mean, our parking complaints have gotten way less. I think people now have accepted it.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of events that happen. Like, we have an event going on right now, and it's packed. You're not going to hear anything from them because they expect that. But it's that one Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock that, say, you drive in, you can't get a parking spot. It might be that person. But those are just, you know, over the last couple of months, we've heard less and less.
Yeah, so it's more the exception to the norm now.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that any other, like, city, like, downtown area where there's breweries, like, if we go up to Denver to, like, Rhino, and you can't park in front of the brewery. Like, forget that. You're parking, like, six blocks away and, like, Ubering, maybe.
You're Ubering yourself around.
Yeah. And so for people here that they go, I can't park right in front, like, just relax. Walk three blocks.
Yeah.
You can park down on Wasatch a block and a half away free.
It's not that hard.
And it's really easy. Now that the construction's done, like, it's really easy to just walk over. So when people complain about it, it's really not, like, a non-factor anymore. It's like, come on, just go there.
Yeah.
Well, we did get one suggestion. Someone back in the day had said to us that we need to come up with a machine that's right as you enter into our parking lot that tells you if there's any spots available. And it's always updating. So then you don't drive in and then drive to the back of the parking lot and be like, oh, crap, there is no spots.
And have to
back out.
Do a 15-point turn in that little small.
So that was a great suggestion.
It's a losing proposition.
Yeah. We got that.
The amount of time that it would take you to create this machine
actually wouldn't be that hard.
But as a month in, it's like you have no idea what a small business is, because, like, a month in and I'm already getting these, like, why can't you have a parking deck or something like that? It's like, you must think I just, like, created a mill right there, you know,
just
in my pocket.
Just pumping this money out right here,
So.
Oh, that's too bad. I mean, it is what it is. People are always, I mean, when you own your own business, people are always going to give you advice, mm-hmm. whether you want it or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of times you're just like, you just have to nod and smile and go, thank you. And just file it away for never, just for times like this.
Yeah. I mean, we still hear. I mean, every night we'll still hear the, what were you guys before? Well, we. Yeah. It's not a we.
We were never.
We weren't anything.
Yeah, we weren't anything. But it's to have that, you have to have that conversation around five times a night. You're going to have it. Yeah. And there's no bad. I haven't heard one server say anything bad. I don't say anything. It just, but you have to have that conversation,
right? Because, like, people are still going to be, or out of towners would be like, I thought this was a different spot the last year when I was here 2 years ago.
This,
I remember the bar
was
over here.
X. Now it is Y.
You guys should
the
have
bar
food.
Bar used to be over here.
Anyways,
moving the bar.
Can I order a burger?
Great
slider.
No, actually, the bar, like, the way you guys did that. If people have not been over to Brass Brewing. There's a lot of people I talk to that still say, oh, I haven't been over there yet to see what they've done. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you need to go in there, because if you went to the previous spot, you know that it was long hallway. Like, basically, you walked in and you didn't see anything. You maybe saw a couch, a wall.
Yeah.
You couldn't know if the bar was packed or not. And now you walk in and you instantly see a bartender and a couple people. Yeah. And so even if there's only six people in there on a slower time, you still see all those six people.
Yeah.
So even driving by or walking by and peering in, it might still be that long hallway, but you have that social, almost like, you know, proving that it's okay to be in there.
Yeah.
So I think you guys did an amazing job. It's warm in there. It's inviting.
Warm is what I hear all the time.
Yeah, and it's crazy, because it's like, it's a lot of dark colors, but it's really nice, and the way you had the ceiling opened up and kept it all nice, and it just matches the way that, you know, your colors and how things work.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was, you know, those were one of those easy changes, you know, Kelly and I, and even talking with David and Paul up at Launchpad back in the day about this particular spot. It was just knowing to move that bar so that when you walk in, you see a bar.
Yeah. You got to tell people what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you
no
see the sign
about
of beer.
You just walked into.
Yeah.
Not a shotgun hallway where you're going to maybe die.
I mean, you still, yeah, you still, it was a long walk before.
Right?
Yeah. It was a long walk.
Where's that creepy doll on the tricycle? Am I going to die?
Yeah. It's still a long walk, but it's a little bit easier when there's a prize at the end.
Yeah.
Because you can see the taps. You can see, you know, your whole tap list right there pretty much from the street now, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And in the summertime, you got that roll-up window right there, which helps out even more. You put music up front there these days or in the back
we
still
did,
too?
We did last spring and the summer. We did a little bit of that. We'll probably go back to that once it gets warm again, open that garage door up and get music going out. So, I mean, we're finally getting a sign outside.
What?
It's finally, it took forever, you know, get approval and everything else, but
we finally
got a sign coming.
Is that going to go on the front of the building, or is that go on the
be on the front of the building
big sign placard thing?
No, right where there's already lights there at night.
Yeah,
we're dropping a nice sign right underneath it. So,
nice.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like it's meant for that.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. I know. You wouldn't think of it taking that long. I mean, I remember talking about this in the fall, and I was like, as long as I have it up by Christmas.
Sign permits take way longer than you actually think they take.
Everything takes longer than you think it takes, yeah.
And we were, no, I mean, at the same time, we weren't beating the place down. We're like, hey, get the sign up now.
Well, the great thing,
people know.
Great thing about it is that you had your sales kept going up, but you don't have a sign up. Like, literally, you're almost like incognito unless someone peeks in.
Yeah.
And you're still having great sales. So it's testament for it.
Yeah.
Now you get the people that are like, oh, hey, brewery. Oh, wait. Yeah. Wait. Yeah. I drive by every day. Like, how do we not know?
Beer sells itself to some extent. You know?
That's a true story.
Yeah. When's the rooftop patio coming?
We might have to do like
revisions are on the way.
Didn't we already talk about parking? How many times are we going to hit these guys?
Rooftop parking.
Rooftop. We're just going to keep building up.
No, the roof's ready to go for people to party up there. Just got to cut a hole and put a flagpole there or something, and then let people just shimmy up the flagpole. It requires some skill. If you can climb a flagpole with a beer in hand, you can get up to the roof.
We've been. It's still on the radar. We're still discussing options.
Yeah.
So that will not go away. As long as I'm in that location, that's my goal, is eventually get something up there. So, we finally got, which we'll someday see, our keg washer. It's out there.
Yeah, she's on the way.
That's
the word on the street.
So
we're not going to shout out who's bringing it to us because they're behind schedule.
But that's okay. You have one coming, though.
We were in November.
Save you a lot of time.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
November, right? November? Mm. Roughly.
Should have been here.
Yeah.
Wow. Should have, could have, would have.
Yeah. So, and I, you know, and you guys know, you've seen the back. There's not much space to expand.
No.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
work with what you have.
Yeah. I think if we had a good goal, is maybe by the end of this year, you know, add another fermenter. We've talked about that.
Yep.
Rearranging in the back there. To
can you bring more. One big fermenter in into the like motorcycle hauling silo right there?
Yeah, we can fit one in there.
And then just put people around it? Like,
we can fit one in there. Yeah.
Put like a 100-barrel one right in there. And just
maybe not that big.
Just cut the roof off. Just bring it in from the ceiling.
How many batches would you have to brew to fill it?
Right. Yeah. Too many.
Yeah.
Too many is the correct answer. Yeah,
yeah, it would go bad by the time it was ready to go.
Suddenly it's a Solera, whether you like it or not.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so we got a Dunkel as well.
We
got the Dunkel already open?
Munich Dunkel.
Oh, no, there it is.
All right.
Woody's taking notes over there. His infamous pad. This is like book number like 3, right?
No, this is...
Is this still the same one?
This is actually book... Yeah, this is book 3.
Okay.
But this one's taking a lot longer because I'm not doing as many notes.
Color on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh, that color's awesome. It's got that just like
ruby
red... Highlights.
So I went to a Gambrinus, which is a Canadian malt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So their Munich Dark is like 30L.
Nice.
Their Munich Light is like 20L. So that's the base base. Like
the light?
No.
Oh, the
dark.
The dark
is the base.
Yeah.
The light is the filler. And you got a little bit of Vienna in there and just a touch of acidulated.
I can smell it already.
Oh, yeah. She's so malty.
Whoa.
Like, and it's
there's a glass nowhere near me, except the one that he passed to Ryan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it smells great.
One thing I have to compliment, Woody, I know, like, the first couple weeks, it was, like, the last time I was majorly in brass, and the carbonation, you guys were always having a little issue with. These ones are like spot on.
We're getting there.
Yeah. Well, I think there's we talk about it. I think there's an actual ghost in there because we will go through a period of no problem, and all of a sudden randomly you'll have one beer kind of go weird on you. So it's the trip. Oh, I almost said it. You'd have to bleep me out. Almost said the old place.
Yeah.
The ghost of the old place. Yeah. So.
We can say it. I can just bleep it, but I'd rather not.
Yeah. And it's been one of those deals. You know, new carb stones and processes.
Maybe that was the judge.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say. I'm just going to. Sorry.
I still don't know.
Yeah. I don't think.
In theory, the names are on it with what he got.
No, yeah. Okay.
No.
No, there was never a carbonation issue with any of those.
Yeah.
We were talking about someone.
Yeah. So this is impressively toasty.
Oh, it is super toasty.
Which kind of expect when you're hitting 30L with your base grain. So,
But it's smooth, though.
Yeah, no.
I would say.
I like the amount of toast in that malt profile. I like that a lot.
If I was going to sit here and beat it up, I would say it's a little under attenuated. I had to.
It's your job.
Super. Yeah, this is what I do. Like, I hate every beer I brew. And
I'm not getting a cloying sweetness out of it, though.
Agreed. Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
So it's just a little. It's a little caramely.
Little. Yeah.
There's a little bit of that, like that almost like dark sugar.
I wish
sugar.
It was a little drier.
But I
wish
think it was a little bad, drier. Though. Yeah. I think that's almost like a melanoidin type of thing with the malt more than an attenuation thing, though.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion as a. Person who kind of knows what they're talking
and
about.
And the caramel is really more just, it's not on the front of the taste, it's like on the aftertaste. So it might just be that it's a melanoid
all,
and like.
And that's all that Munich. It's all Munich. There's nothing else in it. That's
awesome. Yeah. It doesn't finish dry, but it's certainly not, I wouldn't say under attenuated.
It's not cloying. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like a sugar bomb, Maple Thunder or something like that.
Right.
Sorry.
Did I just have that at Maple Syrup in it? Oh, my God. I had a...
Gosh.
Sorry, I'm going to totally tangent.
Yeah, you're okay.
And it's completely off base because there was a mead that I tried. I had a certified mead judge show up for Peterson this year.
Oh, jeez.
To help judge. So we have a mead category, and she judged it. And it was
great. Good.
But she brought her own meads.
Oh, no.
And we sat there Friday night drinking her meads, all the organizers.
They're like 18% alcohol, probably, too.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I stayed on base that night because I always do.
I don't blame you.
That's a smart guy.
It's better than driving up to Monument and back to get there at 7 a.m. But she brought in this. It was amazing, this... You know, I even asked her. I said, "Did you just caramelize this honey before you put it in the mead?" She goes, "No, there's maple syrup in there." I'm like, "Oh my God!"
So it was actually good.
Oh, it was so good.
Okay, because everything that I found maple these days, like I brought back Decadent Ales. They make a maple pecan, like a pecan pie IPA. They make maple IPAs these days. Just like, all right, come on, guys.
And it's overpowering.
It's just too much.
Yeah.
And it's all fake maple, too. It's all that fenugreek stuff, basically.
Yeah, she back sweetened it with maple syrup. So she killed off all the yeast
in it. That's the way to do it, though.
And then back sweetened with it. So it still had that full maple syrup flavor, and it didn't have that, you know, fenugreek note to it.
Yeah, the
because you lose it in fermentation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the tough thing about honey and everything is that.
Wrecker.
Yeah.
18% mead.
18%. God. Yeah, that's terrifying.
Something ridiculous like that. I mean,
I bet it was probably worse than that, too, because.
Who knows?
But home measurements and things like that. Everything's off by a degree.
Yeah. It might have been more like 12. I might be exaggerating when I say 18.
But at the end of a day of judging, it's like 18.
Well, and that's the thing, because I was an organizer. I didn't judge.
So you just sat there and drank.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Winning.
Yeah. There are worse ways to spend a day and a half.
There are.
Anyway, as I'm derailing the podcast.
It's okay. What were you talking about? Maple? Maple Thunder? Oh, yeah. I heard a radio commercial for Maple Thunder beer.
What?
It's from the place that we don't go to. On Academy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. WP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to lie. They're one of our pro-ams. They called. They asked. I couldn't say no.
I know.
But they're getting a new brewing system. So
I heard.
And temperature control for their fermentation.
Finally.
So
how about that?
I know. How many years in?
What would that possibly do?
But yeah, I wish him the best. I hope things continue to go on the upswing for them.
I hope it is on the upswing.
Temperature control is great.
It's what makes beer, right? If you don't have it, then you're like either a Saison brewer that doesn't care about it.
Right. Using Quebec strains. Which
yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Or you're making whiskey and you don't care about it because you're just going to let it open front and do crazy things. And then
just
you're just
let it rip.
Strip the alcohol out of it.
Let's go.
It's so funny walking into 291 and they've got their big two open fermenters and they're just the Krausen is just like bubbling. It's just bubbling off the edges. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. They're like, yeah, that's the batch. We'll distill that tomorrow.
It's normal.
Like, they don't care. Yeah.
It's like, we just hose the whole place down when it's done.
Basically, it's crazy. But it's basically just two big, huge open fermenters, which it's like, all right, that's a great way to do it. I wish that brewing was that you could just like screw it and then just have a great product afterwards.
Have you ever seen that video of Bigfoot?
Yeah,
barley wine
at Sierra Nevada.
In the
that's a closed, controlled area, though. Like,
oh yeah, it's practically a clean room with open fermenter in it, but still, that's fun to watch.
So with lagers and limited fermentation space.
Yeah.
How's that happen?
How do we get to there?
Exactly. <Yeah.
laughs> So, here's the deal with these two. So I got on, and I had 12 taps to fill, and we brewed essentially 12 beers quick in, like, almost 4 months. You know, so everything was brand new.
Right. And yeah, it took about 4 months for you to get to be everything.
To get everything on tap, to get all the beers in place, and we had some time at that point to to put these on, because this Dunkel that you're tasting, I mean, there's 90 days of lager on that.
Like, I'm about to say, it's a 3 month
it's traditional. Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's a 4 month beer at this point. Yeah.
But you don't get those flavors. You don't get that clean crispness out of it without that.
No. Yeah. And I was going to say, you know, with any lager, you got to, you know, hit that diacetyl rest and drop it back down again.
I usually don't like lagers.
Just cold Dunkels. Condition the crap out of them. So
I don't like Dunkels usually. This is fucking tasty.
Yeah. And I've really learned to appreciate them. They're a style I haven't tried yet because, you know, lagering is a intensive sort of thing, and
especially
and I'm a lazy home brewer. I mean, I can do it. I got a fridge that I can temperature control.
It takes
and all
a lot
that
of time.
Fun crap.
So when I was home brewing, I had 4 fridges on my back porch, all temperature control, because that's what I did. I did lagers.
There you go.
All the time, you know. I was just hanging out with the Ironberg guys tonight.
Nice.
They came through to have the Dunkel specifically because you know, they're appreciative of that of that beer style, and we're appreciative of the fact that everything that's old is new, and everything is cyclical, and we'll get back to it. You know?
We will. This craziness where people are wanting these milkshake smoothie, double, triple,
I'd say what you need to do,
butter IPAs.
Is do a firkin and put some glitter in this Dunkel.
No.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
No, please don't ever
know. We're not putting,
totally kidding.
No.
I'm so glad the glitter phase has passed for beer. So glad.
I'm telling you, man. West Coast IPAs. Double IPAs. That's what I want to kind of focus on going forward.
Yeah.
You know,
old is new.
Got that drop of Pliny the Elder and Blind Pig here in town recently.
Yeah. Blind Pig specifically. Yeah.
Love
and tonight
Blind
I was
Pig.
At Iron Bird. I had their Dead Stick.
Dead
which
Stick
is phenomenal.
It's one of the best beers.
Dead Stick is my favorite beer over there.
That is phenomenal.
It's dangerous though too.
Dude,
it is
seriously
tasty, but it's like 8 or 9% alcohol.
It's 9% and it's drinks nine, okay. like it's like 5. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so smooth. It's easy
so
to drink.
Smooth. Yeah.
All of a sudden you're 3 deep and you're like, where'd my feet go?
I made a horrible decision.
Yeah, agreed. But that's
that's what Beans does. He makes great beer over there.
Beans is he's good at what he does. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, their stuff's good. Yeah, that release was just a couple days ago for Dead Stick.
The new one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to be out drinking beer more.
Right.
You're in self-imposed exile.
No, it's been horrible. It's coming soon, though. Like, literally, we were at the doctor's appointment today, and the doctor's like, wow, you got, like, less than 4 weeks left. And I'm just sitting there going, like, I can have beer in less than 4 weeks. Like, just sitting there in my house, not worrying about, like, oh, is this a podcast or is this a special event? So, it's exciting.
I think we talked about this. I don't think I gave up anything. I tried. I was too angry.
Well,
I was too angry of a husband.
I did it at a point. Like, she was pregnant when we went to GABF and all that stuff. So I was just like, all right, after GABF, I'll take a certain amount of time off. And it was nice because we were able to like move the liquor cabinet down from the from being in our kitchen to the basement because, you know, my wife's the one that drinks whiskey, so I enjoy whiskey, but it's not like I get home from a long day of work and I go, oh, I'm going to have a whiskey. I'm like, no, I'm going to have a Pilsner. I'm going to have an IPA, or I'm going to have something easy to sip on. Yeah. And so we moved everything to the basement, and then I was like, well, I guess I'll just move all the beer out to the beer fridge because that's where it should be anyways, and now it just sits there.
Staring.
It's sad.
It just sits there.
How is that a thing? He's just aging IPAs like nobody should.
I've got Two Hearted from 3 years ago. I've got Pliny the Elder from a couple of years ago. Just dry aging. You know, it's like dry aged beef.
So I got to come to your house.
No. Everything that was perishable got drankin'.
Drankin'?
Drankin'.
Drankin'. Is that a word?
It is now.
Okay.
Everything that was like an IPA or a sour or a stout or a sour got thrown in the fridge or thrown in the cellar. So, along with the Bud Light that's in the cellar. I had a guy that left a Bud Light sitting on the counter after working on the house. Yeah. And so I looked at it and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to put this in the fridge because people will look at me weird if they've opened the fridge up. I may not
give myself a Gatorade bath with it at some point based on the temperature outside.
Right. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to just set it on the top shelf of the cellar, and we'll see how it tastes in 4 years.
It'll taste the same.
Spoiler alert, not good.
It will taste exactly. It might actually taste better, but it won't taste good.
The same.
This thing has devolved into Old English. What happened?
It's actually funny, though, because then I send pictures of my cellar to people, and they go, why is there a Bud Light on the top shelf? I'm like, oh, yeah, don't worry about that.
It's just that little guy.
That little guy. Ah, it's just a can of Bud Light. Don't worry about it. It was sort of funny to find it, because I don't know how long it was sitting out. So it's probably got really warm and gross. I mean, it's already gross anyways.
Yeah,
that stuff's piss water.
But it's full of rice syrup,
not corn syrup.
Right.
Yeah.
Rice syrup.
They have tags on it now.
Yeah, that's right. They
do.
They're cases now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's nutritional information.
Yes. Yeah. Correct.
So nutritious.
They're the ones that have been pushing it for craft beer for a long time too. Yeah. They want craft beer to put it all over everything because they want people to see all the sugars that are in it.
Barriers to entry.
I mean, can you imagine seeing the nutrition label for like a pastry stout? Like people put like an entire box of like cake mix.
I don't want to think about the caloric intake of pastry stouts. There's times when I try and like I'm pretty sure I just gained weight looking at this.
So I was over at Metric the other day and they have a pineapple upside down cake blonde ale. It's really good, but they put an entire like 11-pound bag of cake mix into it.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I may or may not have first-hand knowledge of a clogged heat exchanger.
I bet that happened. It had to have. Like, that's ridiculous. But it tastes just like that. I mean, I actually sort of like it because it's a blonde ale. It's not like a stout or like a IPA. So I'm like, ooh, a pastry blonde.
Well,
like,
speaking of cake mix, Gold Camp just put on a Red Velvet beer dumped a Red Velvet cake mix in the in the fermenter. And the only reason I know this because, like, Kenny.
In the fermenter?
No, not the fermenter. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. In the mash. Sorry.
I was hyperventilating.
Yeah, I misspoke.
Straight flour in the fermenter.
I misspoke. Kenny Wilson, who's a brew brother, has been brewing with them and doing some funky stuff with them. So this is one of his brain children that went on tap like Tuesday of this week.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Or Tuesday of last week.
Anyway. You know what? People love him. Great. It's going to hopefully, like Michael was saying, come back around.
Yeah.
Cyclical.
Yeah.
Cyclical, baby, I hope.
I honestly think that's the thing for 2019. And I've said it before that, you know, we're going to get back to, can you make a clean beer?
Agreed.
You know, people are still going to be chasing the new, the fun, the what the hell is that beer. Great.
But there's something to that.
Yeah, the mark of a good brewery is, can you make a clean beer that just flawless?
Yeah, or can you make a Pilsner? Like, can you lager something for 3 months and hope it actually tastes good?
Tastes clean.
Tastes like you didn't mess with it or mess up.
Here's the secret. There's nowhere to hide.
Right. There's no. I don't see any cake mix on here. I don't see any other crazy dry hopping. Yeah. It's not triple dry hopped. It doesn't have cookies in it. That's the thing. So we were at Big Beers up in Breckenridge a couple weeks ago, and
I saw your post.
Yeah,
it looked amazing.
It was a lot of fun. You guys, if you guys do Big Beers, was it a month ago? Jeez. Yes. Yeah. Couple weeks. I think it's 3 or 4 weeks. Time flies when you're
true.
Drinking and or not drinking.
I saw the food pairings and
It was great. They did a great job. They do a phenomenal job now that it's in Breckenridge. I mean, they did a great job when it was Vail, but Vail's a tough city. Breck has just got so many more options.
It's definitely better.
We would love to see more Colorado Springs breweries up there. Wink, wink. Hint, hint. Nudge, yeah. Nudge. Yeah. Hey, but the biggest thing that I did in the festival, which started to piss off some of the brewers, is I was walking around and they're like, what do you have? They're like, oh, I've got this Imperial Stout. I go, this one. Like, do you have a Pilsner? They're like, no, it's big beers. I'm like, well, yeah. Someone's got a Pilsner. Do you know who has a Pilsner? And so it turned out that River North brought a case of their pils. And so I went over there and I'm like, Derek, Pilsner me. He's like, how'd you know we had this? Everyone wants the Pilsners. Because that's where
isn't Wiley Roots pouring their beer-flavored beer,
and that's
too?
What I had that, too, yeah. Wiley Roots beer-flavored beer. They actually got a cease and desist from, not from...
Not who you'd think.
Not from Budweiser, but from another brewer, another craft brewery that was like, well, we have a tagline that's beer-flavored beer.
Yeah. Well, I got something better than that, but it's gonna be a minute before I break it out for you.
You right here?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not tonight. Just the idea.
So it's coming in a few months.
Something that's prevalent in the industry right now that we're about to.
Nice.
We're about to put on blast. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Me and a few friends. Yeah.
I think though,
because things are getting crazy. You agree? You guys agree?
Too crazy. Yeah. Like, to the point where it's ridiculous.
The pendulum has swung.
I was in Pittsburgh for a week, and I brought back
what new is
old. Two crazy beers to give to people and just be like, all right, here, drink these. And then I brought back easy-drinking pale ales. And that was it.
Well, even with that Russian River drop that we just got, they had their STS pills.
People didn't know about it, though.
And that thing is sold out in most places that... We're carrying it. I mean, they've still got some Pliny and other stuff left, but the STS is gone.
Which is good.
Is what I've seen on Facebook recently. So, I think people are, you know, like you said, what old is new. Pendulum swung back.
Yeah.
People are into the light, the clean. Yeah. You know, it's a total departure from the over-the-top, sweet, pastry stout type thing.
I love those when I can drink this much of it.
Yeah, you but want a full pint.
If you give me even a can of it, and I'm like, I gotta drink. How much is this gonna give me diabetes? Like, what is this? What is this doing to me?
Who can I share this with?
Yeah, how many people can I share this with? This 12 ounce can, and it's just. I mean, it's interesting because Trinity's done their naked stouts, where they're basically like, this doesn't have anything in it but grain. Like, come on, it's basic. It's the way it should be, and it's really freaking good too.
Yeah.
We've been doing it that way for hundreds of years. Why are we adding all these like Betty Crocker mixes into our beers? All right, I'm putting my foot down. I'm done with them.
But I'll give you the perspective of a brewery owner, though. You know,
already
you have to feed the mass.
Oh yeah, you do.
You have to.
True.
And, you know, I think there's breweries that we know of did not want to go down the hazy milkshake route, but they did it. And now they're sitting there going, I'm kind of glad we did.
It's a license to print money. Why wouldn't you do it?
Not to make it your staple, not to make it who you are, but it is important to make sure we're paying attention to what people want.
Right.
It may not be what we love, but you got to put it out there. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the business piece.
Yeah.
So.
Agreed.
Makes perfect sense.
How's the off we go gone so far?
Good.
It's popular.
Seems like people love it.
Yeah, we and
it's
we're
not a bad beer,
but it's not crazy like lactose-y.
It's not over the top. It's super balanced. Yeah. I would say.
We're hosting because we're gonna do a series, so we're gonna do one probably May-ish for the second part of the series, and we'll do it down here.
Right.
I don't know what these guys are gonna come up with for that, but I think we're gonna go with the color red because they did blue or so, I don't know. We'll come up with something, but and we'll continue. And I don't want to go back into the podcast from earlier, but. We'll continue to do collabs. I mean, that's one of the things that I did not have a while ago, and now I have it. And that's what I want to continue
doing.
It's
a big thing. That's a big part of what I was talking about earlier, man. It's just relationships. And it's knowledge. And, you know, I get together with guys, once a week, and we sit down, and we gossip like a bunch of old hens, and we talk. But it's
but just talking about what you're doing and what are you doing differently, and you know,
yeah, how'd you make that?
Yeah, exactly.
What'd you do that?
Agreed. And we hosted at each person's place, and we sit down and we talk shop and we chop it up, and you know, this barley wine is amazing. What did you do? You know, because we try to help each other.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah,
and 9 times out of 10. My friends will give you the recipe.
Right.
You know, it's not...
Or they'll be like, I'll give you the recipe, but I'm not going to tell you the percentages.
No, it's not even that, man. It's just we want each other to succeed.
That's a good thing.
So,
well, that's the big thing that, you know, at least Colorado Springs has been sort of good at, is that, you know, a higher tide rises all boats.
Yeah.
So if everyone does better, then... Or if one guy does better, everyone does better. So even with, like, you know, Cerberus got really popular there for a while, and that just brought everyone else up. People are like, oh, I had never heard of blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah. Well, why haven't you heard of them? Come on.
Right.
So it's a great thing.
We all
thing.
Know. It's good for everybody.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And just good beer is just good, period. You know? So
as long as it just doesn't have, like, 50 things in it. That are not beer ingredients. I don't know. I'm starting to lose track of it.
That's 2019 for you, though. It's going back to being clean, I think.
I think it is. Yeah. I think you're right.
I think we're still going to see the occasional, you know, outlier. I mean, just fun, wacky shit, and people like fun, wacky shit.
Yeah.
But after that, you know, you don't want a pint of fun, wacky shit. You want a pint of something clean and easy to drink.
Yeah.
So I think we'll probably see both.
Oh, yeah, we will.
I don't think we're ever going to get rid of that whole pastry stout thing. I think that
they'll
probably diminish in portfolio.
Yeah.
But
there's still
I don't
gonna
think
be
they're
those
ever
going
to go away, away.
There's still going to be those people that drink Bud Light Limeritas or whatever who are going to go to that stuff and go, oh, it's sweet. I can drink it. It tastes like beer.
Yeah. Because it's a lot of it, too. It doesn't taste like beer.
Right.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people that don't like
there's a market for
beer
it.
Taste, yeah. And so they go to the brewery that doesn't taste like beer.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, they're buying more corn sugar than they're buying malt. All right, well, cool.
Yeah,
corn syrup.
Well,
okay. You guys, so what's coming up? So anniversary, March 22nd.
Yep.
Get back on the train here. We sort of derailed there.
I was going to actually, before you do that.
Okay.
We were mentioning breweries on Academy. Oh. So my buddy Andy.
Yeah, he's about to open.
So,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, talk to him.
He's mid March too, right?
It might be March 16th.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember having lunch with him. So hopefully,
oh, after
this.
We talked,
and I will put this out. He
after
still
we
hasn't,
talked,
no,
you had lunch with him.
Okay. No, when we had talked way back in the day, but he has yet to come to Brass.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's on my shit
Andy
list.
France.
Uh-oh. Yes.
Yet to come.
Putting
visit
him on
me
blast.
At Brass.
Yes. He has barely gone anywhere.
Well, I figured, but
he's been.
I get a text every once in a while saying I'll get there, and he hasn't been there yet. So Andy,
he'll be there.
Yeah. Okay.
When you when you're basically building a brewery by your own hands with your dad's help,
yep.
Take some time. So they'll be there.
Yep.
Yeah, they're open. It was funny. I was in there and we were talking, and I was like, Andy, you should open on March 16th, and he's like, why? I'm like, because it's my birthday. And you should just open on my birthday. And also because Brass's anniversary is the week after.
When I think you even, I remember you even tried to get me to open on 16th.
I did.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. I was like, come on, just a week earlier.
Birthday.
Come on, it's my
yeah,
birthday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, no, I don't want that, though, because then.
He's just looking for something to do on his birthday, clearly.
Now I have to go to a brewery on my birthday, and it's like,
yeah.
Gosh. Oh, wrench my arm.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Darcy, I got to go to this brewery on my birthday. They're opening. It's a grand opening.
Fiddle. Sad song just for you.
Yeah. Well, we've already got our bands booked.
Who's playing?
So David Mensch will open up for us for a couple hours, and then we lead into our ever favorite Taylor Street Corner Thieves to finish the night out. So we'll have that going on, and then food trucks are lined up, and we'll have those.
We're not going to talk about beers yet, but they're going to be big. So
yeah.
I'm not going to talk about beer shit. You're a month out.
Yeah.
So that means you don't know, right?
Oh, no. 100%.
If they're going to be big, he knows.
Yeah. Well, we have another event happening here soon, too. We won't give it all out, but we have a Game of Thrones thing going on with some six other breweries. So we have to make a beer for that as well. And we're the lead on it, Brass. So we have definitely a lot of beer making here in the next few weeks.
Nice.
So
Well, why, have you heard anything about that? You're a Game of Thrones dude.
No, I haven't. This is, but, this is, but the Lannisters send their regards, this apparently.
Very, this is a very low-key. It'll get pushed out here very soon.
So we're trying
soon.
To not get HBO to like sue anybody?
Sue
gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. That's the key. It's very low-key.
Very low-key.
Yeah.
It involves a dragon and it's kingdoms.
Like train of
and,
train of bones, right? Yes, a lot of, yes, the train of bones. Yes, yeah, nice. Yeah, of course it is.
Rogan beers.
Oh, nice. For the, what is it, the series finale? Or was
yes,
it?
This is the season.
In the lead up.
Yeah, season
six
finale.
Episodes starting
April 14th.
There you go.
Yep. I'm waiting until the season's, the whole thing's done so I can then just Netflix binge it for a weekend.
It won't be on Netflix, though.
And we're trying to lead this into HBO, like St. Arnold's and all the other stuff that's going on. So.
Yeah.
Trying to get everybody to be brewing older styles. So.
So there'll be, I mean, without saying too much, there'll be six other breweries that are on board. They'll represent each kingdom, and then there'll be a card involved, and you have to go to each brewery to get your card punched, and that'll be a specific dragon, a fire and ice beer. About
so let's
HBO.
See. I can only imagine storybooks involved in this somehow.
So that'll be getting put out here in probably about two more weeks, and it'll go public for who's all involved and what we're going to do.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. So we have that.
Working on that for a minute. Yeah.
Yeah, then we have obviously.
Doesn't have anything to do with warning sign, right?
No.
Okay, because that's a dragon with an ice block. So.
Agreed.
Isn't that Godzilla?
It is.
Godzilla's a dragon?
He is not a dragon. Did you guys have that one, by the way?
I had not had that one.
You didn't get your lips on it?
No.
Who's anyone else got it out there anymore?
Yeah, Burley still has it.
Burley still has it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Their assistant brewer is a good friend of mine, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good.
Lance.
Okay.
Very good.
Went to college with that dude.
Who all brewed warning sign this year?
We did. Yeah.
You did?
Okay. that's why we're talking about
well,
it.
Well, I figured, but the only person I've seen
Deuces,
like,
Pagosa
actively...
Springs.
Yeah, Tony was part of it,
yeah. Yeah, Tony.
You know Tony?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Tony's a good dude.
Burley's the only Tony's one I've seen that dude. Was advertising
Burley has the lion's share of it. Okay. We literally got a sixth of it, and we put it on. Deuces had a sixth of it, and they put it on.
And it's gone.
Oh, it's good, man. Like if it doesn't win a medal at JBF, I will be shocked.
Where was the brewed at?
Burley.
At Burley?
Yeah.
Those guys are kicking butt up there.
Oh, Jim's a stud, so yeah.
They're doing well. I just wish they'd dial back their social media to like 75%.
Yeah.
As opposed to the
1,000%.
100% drinking from the fire hose that they've got going on right now. Yeah. Like, look, guys, I get it, but just dial it back a skosh.
We should figure it out and go up there and
definitely.
Try it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild Blue Yonder. Have you tried that yet?
Yeah, so you were up there.
Yeah, my brother and I went up right before Christmas to Wild Blue Yonder and Iron Mule.
It looks like a high-end like coffee bar inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wild Blue Yonder's beautiful inside.
Yep. Like white
good beer,
subway tiles.
Good food.
That's what I've heard. The food's supposed to be really good.
And Iron Mule is literally like two blocks north of them.
That's Old Castle
Rock.
Castle
Rock Brewing.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's family owned. They actually looked at trying to open up like in the Monument or the Springs or something before they decided on that location. And they, it's a cozy little place. They got good beers. They do food trucks. You know, it's not a big establishment or anything. But
Castle Rock is exploding. They've
both of them are really good
places.
Yeah.
I
recommend
right?
them both.
They're four now?
Four. But for a... Like for a long time, they just had Rock Yard.
Yeah. Well, I guess five. Then you can't
which
count
was
them.
Jim.
Yeah. You didn't even count Rock Yard.
I wasn't even thinking about Rock Yard. I was just thinking the micro piece of it. So yeah, you had Rock Yard in there, and that's five.
Yeah. It's pretty busy up there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Downtown's getting busier too. You got Dauntless going in pretty soon. A couple blocks away from you guys.
What is it?
Dauntless.
I don't know what that
it's
is.
It's right next to the bench.
Right, basically block down or south of Ironbird.
Dauntless.
Same block, Dauntless.
Is that a brewery?
It is.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't think they're as near to opening as everyone seems to say that they are.
The used car spot has moved out, though, and they are now working on it.
Nobody's heard of them.
Yeah.
All of my development people are hitting me up and going, hey, do you know about these guys? And I'm like, yeah, I do.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm guessing they're a good... year out.
They were supposed to go into the independent record spot next to King Chef. Okay. Didn't go in there for some reason. I don't know what happened with that. I talked to the guy at Metric last fall, and he was he was still trying to figure out funding. And so it didn't seem like they were in any rush. But I think he's got some family funding that probably popped in and was like, all right, let's do this. So they got this. They supposedly signed the lease on the corner there, 428 North Nevada, which is basically that used car lot right there.
Is that close to – that's across the street from Local Relic, right? Kind of, sort of.
Two blocks down, one block over.
Same side of the street, same block as Ironbird.
Oh, okay.
So like 100 yards away from Ironbird.
Gotcha.
And then we've heard rumors that another spot's going to go in across Tejon from Fieldhouse. So downtown's going to be hopping.
It's good.
Good.
Yeah. And that's what we need anyway. We talk about bring more because on weekends that's what brings people to downtown.
And that's what I wanted to ask is because there's some people that go, oh, there's too many breweries within two blocks. I'm like, no, bring more.
Yeah. Go to Denver. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
It's like as long as it's
that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like 15 breweries within like three blocks, mm-hmm. and everyone does well and everyone loves it. So. Yeah, because if someone pops into your spot and they're like, oh, it's too busy right now, they'll pop around to the other spot. But same thing, they'll pop into the other spot that next time, and they'll go, oh, crap, they're too busy. Oh, we didn't get the chance to go over there. Let's go over there now. So,
yeah, because, awesome. I mean, we have a lot of people ask us when they're, you know, having beers at our place, and we're like, where do we go next? I'm like, do you want to walk? And we're like, yeah. We go Local Relic, and then it just kind of, after that, it's like Fieldhouse or Phantom. But, man, how nice would that be if, you know, three more pop in, then it's like, hit here, you know.
There's a real, walking tour downtown.
And then it'll bring people down to do that, too. So,
and then you won't feel bad about parking in the middle for everything.
No. That's right.
The parking thing will disappear.
It'll take heat off of us for parking. That's right. I like that.
They'll be like, I'm parking in the middle. I'm going to just do a big circle, and then I will not get my car until tomorrow, and then we'll be good.
Yeah.
Gotta leave it here.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I think, do you have more questions?
No, I'm good. All right.
Well, I was going to say, thanks for being on the show. Yeah. Do you have anything that you want to just shout out to people? How to find you? What old brewery you were in?
I think that this is our one chance to kind of tell everyone that, I mean, how appreciated we are, you know, welcoming us to, you know, a new brewery world. And, you know, we only see love. You know, each month has gotten bigger and bigger. And when you see January, and you mentioned earlier about, you know, dry anywhere, you worry about things like that. But sales-wise, that was our best month. December was our best month. And now we're closed on Mondays in January, and we still did better than December. And it was like, to see that. And it's like, so people, we appreciate the love. We appreciate all the positive feedback we get. Our staff, I can't give them enough credit. And what they do, you know, serving. But, yeah, we're looking forward to 2019 and things we're going to bring out. And
sour's coming.
Yeah, yeah. I like to say that because everyone asks every day.
Give a sour.
Yeah.
Sour's
coming. So.
Just waiting for spring, man. That's what the winter's been all about, malt.
Yep.
That's why we're drinking Munich doubles.
Yeah.
Irish stouts. It's been malty over the winter.
Solid plan.
Yeah, for sure.
No, and with the capacity, you can't just go crazy in all the same styles all the time. You gotta start a second.
We're gonna keep it new. We're gonna keep it fresh.
The smart move.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks for being on the show.
Cheers.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers.